countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Have you cattle to sell? Find out what they're worth with our March price calculator on farmersjournal.ie.
A new report has been published this morning on the future direction of Ireland's agri-food sector. It's the work of the 2030 Agri-Food Committee under the chairmanship of agri-economist and public policy advisor Tom Arnold. It's a roadmap aimed at managing the entire farm-to-fork process efficiently in protecting the environment and farm incomes while consolidating global markets. And its aim is for Ireland to be a world leader in sustainable food systems over the next decade. Among the targets are for carbon neutral farming by 2050, the setting aside of 10% of farmland for biodiversity by 2030, increasing the value of global food exports from 13 billion to 21 billion by the end of the decade. And the next step is a public consultation process which will be open for the next 2 months, and it begins on Wednesday with a series of webinars. Well, with me now to go through some of this is the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnellogue. Minister, good morning. This sector is falling down with reports, including your own Ag Climatise proposal, your 75-point action plan launched earlier this week, the EU Green Deal farm-to-fork strategy, not to mention the new CAP reform. So where does this new Agri-Food 2030 strategy fit into all of that?
Good morning, Damien, and listen, first of all, I want to thank Tom Arnold for his tremendous work as chairman, working with all of the members of the 2030 Strategy Group. And I think what's very unique about this approach, and it has served agriculture very well for since the year 2000 when we first started these 10-year reports, what serves it really well is the fact that it brings together all within the agri-food sector and all stakeholders. And they have ownership in terms of the direction that the sector takes. And I think that has been very productive and worked really well for us. And I think it can work really well as well in terms of bringing our ag food sector forward now, between now and 2030. The approach that the committee are taking is quite different to the previous reports in that it's taking a food systems approach to how we develop agri-food domestically over the next 10 years. And that means that in terms of how we actually produce food, we not only look at the food production aspect of it, but we look at how it interacts with health and also with the wider environment, and ensuring that those three things are taken in conjunction. And I think that very much fits in as well to the direction of travel worldwide in relation to the approach towards food. And also, for example, the UN Food Summit taking place later this year, which yes. is trying to lead in terms of developing food systems approach internationally. And I think that can work very well in terms of for our farmers, primary producers and our food sector domestically. And really importantly, and most importantly as well, for all of us who consume food and for whom food is essential to all our lives, and how it is produced is really important to us too.
Now, it is very ambitious, very detailed, but there seems on the face of it to be some conflicts in the ambition. For example, there's a target to grow our exports to 21 billion euros by 2030. And then there's the target to reduce methane by 10% in the same time. Surely they're mutually exclusive. How can you achieve both?
No, I think it is possible to achieve both, and I think the committee, which brings together expertise from all aspects of the agri-food and research sector, has looked at this in great detail, and the focus is going to be on ensuring that we try and develop as much of a premium aspect to our food as we possibly can, so that we look at how we enhance its value. And in terms of how we actually grow the capacity of our ag food sector to increase its production, that is done in a way that is sustainable and is smart and climate and environmentally smart as well. And you referenced there in your introduction the Ag Climatise document, which I published earlier on at the start of this year, which outlines how agri-food sector can actually make its contribution to climate change over the next period of time, which also, of course, will be considered in the context of the new Climate Action Bill as well. But that outlines science, how by increasing soil fertility, for example, by ensuring that we use nutrients much more smartly in terms of organic fertilizer, right, and also chemical fertilizer, how we use pesticides, that in terms of actually using that in the most intelligent way possible, there is significant capacity there to reduce our overall climate footprint while continuing to produce exceptionally healthy and safe food, not only for consumers across our own country, but internationally as well, because we do have to remember that we export 90% of what we produce, and that's significant internationally, and also very significant in terms of the contribution it makes to our economy and to employment as well.
Yeah, now that green transition is very achievable, but the FAO and the OECD quoted in the report as saying that food prices will stay stable or reduce slightly in the coming years. Isn't that the nub of the issue from a farmer's perspective, that consumers don't want to pay for the privilege of sustainable food and the cost that will be involved in that green transition?
I think, I mean, central to the report and certainly central to my own mission as Minister for Agriculture is to ensure that farm incomes and primary producer incomes are central to public policy, and that we try and support those in every way we can, because at the end of the day, that it's farmers and primary producers who our food system and our food sector is built upon. So I think in terms of how we actually approach the environmental objectives over the next period of time, that there can be opportunities for new income streams there, because farmers do have a leadership role to play and are up for playing a leadership role in relation to, for example, tackling biodiversity, and also very much so in terms of playing their making their contribution to reducing our climate or emissions. But in doing so, I think it's really important that we take a partnership approach, and the farmers are rewarded for the work on the environmental goods that they will produce. So incomes have to be absolutely crucial and central, and in terms of public policy, that certainly will be the approach that will be taken. And I think this report very much takes that approach and sets a very strong leadership direction for the next 10 years with incomes and economic sustainability at its heart.
Okay, well, speaking of which, the environmental pillar, as you know, representing a number of environmental NGOs, they pulled out of this strategy committee earlier this year, saying that the report was, quote, woefully inadequate to meet the social environmental challenges we face. And in a week where we hear that 63% of Ireland's wild bird species are now of serious conservation concern, with intensive farming partly to blame in that, have their concerns been addressed in this draft report?
I think certainly this is a report which is really does address the need for agriculture and food to be environmentally sustainable, and to set a direction which ensures that it will be as well. I was very much disappointed that the environmental pillar representative didn't stay there to the finalisation of this document. And I certainly think this is a document which is a very balanced one, and which is a very environmentally sustainable one as well. It is really important now over the next period of time that we do see strong engagement in the consultation process that's now commencing on this strategy. It's a draft strategy at the moment. It's going out for public consultation from today for a period of 8 weeks. And certainly I look forward to the environmental pillar engaging in that public consultation, but also the wider public engaging in it, because food is really important to all of us. How it's produced is really important to all of us.
Sure.
And this 10-year strategy sets the course for that. So I would encourage all members of the public over the next 8 weeks to feed into that through the consultation process by making submissions, and also through the food systems dialogues that we will be that you indicated and mentioned, that will be happening over the next couple of weeks as well, to inform and bring forward the ideas and policies outlined in this 10-year strategy.
Okay, a couple of final points. Farm groups and environmental advocates, they've been, you know, at one in their ambivalence both about each other and in the future direction of Irish food production and where it should go. How destructive is that rather poor relationship for all of our good?
I think it's important that we work to ensure that relationship is one of partnership, because I think all of us, first of all, have to work together to make progress. And I think everybody needs to recognise what farmers actually are contributing in terms of producing top quality food in a very environmentally sustainable way by international standards, based on our grass-fed system domestically, for example, and also the potential and willingness and openness of farmers to provide leadership in this in the time ahead as well, to continue to produce that top quality food, but to do it in a way that is that takes every step possible in terms of ensuring that it's environmentally sustainable and making a contribution, providing leadership in relation to biodiversity and improving or addressing our biodiversity decline as well.
Yeah.
So I think there has to be a recognition of that, and certainly I recognise that as minister, and I think increasingly through this approach where of people coming together, and hopefully through the finalisation of their support and engagement, we'll see around that we can help ensure that there is everyone does work together,
sure,
to address what is undoubtedly a big challenge for us in the years ahead.
All right, we've a minute left, and obviously there's lots more I'd like to get through, and we will come back to this in a couple of months' time with you. But EPA figures show that the decline in water, air and soil quality is due a lot to dairy expansion. Is capping or reducing cow numbers the only way to reverse this decline? And for a dairy farmer that's listening to us now, what will they be doing in 2030?
I think how we use our how we maximise the potential of our soil and soil health, and also how we use nutrients smartly, for example, in relation to organic fertiliser and the use of chemical fertiliser. There can be a lot done in relation to that that can actually ensure we improve water quality and also improve the efficiency of agriculture. And I think overall, Damien, you know, we're going to see the world population increase to 8.5 billion by 2030 and 10 billion by 2050, and the world is going to have to be fed. We can massively contribute to that domestically by producing food in a very environmentally sustainable manner. Yeah. But it's really important that we do build on the track record we have and maximise that further in the time ahead, and ensure that from an environmental point of view as well as an economic point of view, we maximise the possibilities and capacity of our ag food sector.
All right. Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnell, thank you indeed for joining us this morning. That report being published today, it goes live. All of us can get involved and give our opinion on it. So if you go onto the Department of Agriculture website, you will be able to follow a link there. And we will monitor this, and we will come back to it during that process and indeed at the end of it in 8 weeks' time.